Welcome to the series of shiurim of lectures on the part of the Guide to the Perplexed, the Meir Nefuchim, which deals with quote-unquote descriptions or the impossibility of describing God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, generally referred to as the Rambam's Maimonides negative theology. This is the third lecture in the series of lectures, and since the lectures began with chapter 50, so therefore simple arithmetic dictates we're on chapter 53. So let us commence with chapter 53. Once again, I'm going to be reading from the Hebrew translation of the original Arabic, straight from the original Arabic, of Professor Michal Pinnis. And that means that we're in Chelik Rishon, chapter Nun Perek Nun Beis, chapter 52. Did I say 53? Should we 52? My arithmetic was wrong. How do you learn anything like that? The first class we gave on chapter 50, the second class we gave on chapter 51, and the third week class we gave on chapter, well, we're going Mitzvah, we'll be giving on chapter 52 right now. Perek Nun Beis. What? And I'm reading out of Schwartz, and I'm on page 118. Actually, today I actually managed to bring the Pinnis edition with me, and in the Pinnis edition, once again, it's the first volume, section 1, chapter 52, on page 114. Okay. Now, the Rambam, in chapter 52, divides all descriptions, or I would perhaps more accurately say, all predicates, into five classes. Okay, that's the general purpose of the chapter 52, is to make a list of five groups of predicates. Four groups of predicates are predicates that, even though they describe anything in the world, cannot, they violate a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, four of the classes cannot be used in describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Rambam does stipulate that the fifth category, which we'll go into, is something that one could use in relationship with God, with HaKadosh Baruch. Okay? So we'll begin once again on page 118, Perek Nun Beis. Kol Matua Shemechuyev Leitaya, anything which can be described. For Oimim Shu Kach Fakach, we say it is this and this, which means it's the description appears as a predicate. It has to be necessarily from one of five classes, one of five categories. Hakvutza rishayda, the first category. Shivatarim dava bagdarosai. The first category is a definition. Gagoyim, for example, says the Rambam, Shivatarim basara ha'odam betor chai medaber. Man is a speaking living creature. A living creature who speaks. Kvar hisbarnu, we've all explained. Shetorah kazeh matzpia al mawos ha'dover v'abisosoi, who has b'shal shem v'suloi. All it is a definition of an A. It's a definition. In other words, not adding something to the thing, it's really defining. X equals P, X equals Y. Ofen zeh shetorah nishlam b'nakeh l'das ha'kol, ki l'keh yis'ala ein sibo yis koitbo yis shetiyena sibo l'mitziusoi, sheyev shal agdiroi b'em tzuusoi. No, we cannot use this category to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because if it describes its current, so it's because he says there aren't empirical means which give rise to his existence. We can't say Kadosh Baruch Hu is the rational being. That means there's something that is empirically prior, right, to God, right? Therefore, everybody knows that you cannot describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu using this category of predicates. Okay? Okay. Okay? Okay, fine. Now, Hakvutza Shniya. What's the second category of predicates? Shemetalim Dava Bechile Magdarasai. In other words, use part of the definition. Kamo Shemetalim is Adam Shu Baal Chayim. You can call man a living creature. O Shemedaber. You can call him a speaking creature. Davos epeusho kesha dadi balyanatek. In other words, this is a description it's a necessary description. Because she kashar nano arm kol adam medaber peyush shekom mishenimtzes loy anoishis pitzaba nimtza by adibo. That's what I'm saying is it's necessary that if I say that every person speaks. So what I'm really saying is that in other words, whoever is human. So by definition, almost, I mean he speaks. Of course, everybody's going to agree that this type of description cannot possibly be applied to God. If that's true, then in other words, it turns out that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is composed of two things. One of them is a part of his essence which speaks. In other words, it doesn't describe it completely, but it describes him partially. So that means that there's two parts of God. There's one part of God which obeys this description, and perhaps another part of God which obeys another description. In other words, basically, ascribing to God this type of predicate denies or violates God's absolute unity, which we've spoken about in the previous two chapters. So for the same reason that the previous class cannot be applied to God, so this too. Okay, so now we have the two first categories, which the Rambam is claiming that these two categories are not applicable to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to God. Now, what about the third category? Hakavutza Shlishis, Hu Shmetarim Dovim Bemashu Shumi Chutzla Misosiv Atzbusin. In other words, the first two categories are either a full definition or a partial definition. So they're defining an essence, a part of an essence. Here we're speaking about a description. It's not part of that's something that's addition to his essence. Kasha Oisim Mashu in Atzbus Begir Bemzusli De Shlemus Veinu Mabit Oisim. In other words, for example, this is something that, in other words, kach she'oisim mashu ena atzus begir bemzus lidei shleimus. In other words, it could possibly be that the essence doesn't achieve this thing. Ve'enu mamid oisai. In other words, it's not a permanent part of something's essence, which means that sometimes it doesn't achieve this predicate, sometimes it does. Bikan she'mashu zeh o'echus kol shibadover. It's a quality that something, you know, that something may have or may not have. Ha'echus b'yosuk elyon hu mikra ben ha'mikram. So it's what's called coincidental, meaning it's an accident. It might have this property at one time, or in one case, it might not have it. You know, ala kelyus ala teya b'kvutza zoyz, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had this type of property, v'yis ala haya metzal mikram. So in other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had this property, so it turns out, sometimes he would have it, sometimes he would not have it, which means that God would change in time. Dai bach lachik zois taino shiye bal echus ba misusu v'atzmusa. Of course, the Rambam says this, you know, we should stay away from this. Mafi shadegle b'term sheyle medakel es ha-shva v'es ha-iyuch. Ach ein perush dvorem ein hu nitan le-ivol. El ha-shein hu bal echus. In other words, basically, God, you cannot describe God by a predicate, right, which qualifies him. B'chol toya b'chayav la'atzmus kol shu chiyav atzmus. Harei oshu mabit es atzmus v'zoi imo, oshu eichu shal atzmus zu. In other words, there are two types of properties. Either one which is identical with the essence, or sometimes something which gives an attribute that the essence sometimes reaches, doesn't reach. It gives a degree to which the essence achieves certain perfection. V'sugia eichus k'vishir de atayim arba. Now, there are four types of these properties, these qualities that can be stipulated about a person or any object. And the Rambam says he's going to go through every one of these cases and he's going to explain what they are. So Dugma Rishayna says, we are on page 120 now in the Schwartz edition. For example, you say that a certain person, right, a person has a certain talent or a certain profession. For example, Pliny Hanaga. You say a person is a carpenter. Tzanua. He's modest. Choyle. He's sick. So there's no difference whether you say he's a carpenter, in Hedelbin Shetoyim Hanaga, or you say he's a Malubad, or he's learned, or Chochem, he's intelligent. Right? All of these are things that a person can achieve or not achieve. There's no difference whether a person is tsanua, which means modest, or rachum, or he's compassionate. All of these things are talents, which are they're the part of man's, you know, achieving a certain potential. Okay, in other words, basically, these represent certain talents in a person. The second example is you say a person has, you know, it's a natural quality. In other words, a physical power. For example, you're going to tell me something is rach, it's soft, or a kosher, it's hard. Okay? And there's no difference whether you say something is hard, whether something is strong. Once again, these are natural properties. In other words, the first category are things that a person can, you know, can ascribe to. They're attributes, you know, which are perfections. And the second one are just sort of like physical properties. The Dugbashlish is the third example. For example, you describe a person's emotions, his midas, his temperaments. You say, Ploni Akoye is a person gets mad. Rarege is a yore, he's fearful. Merachem is a person who's compassionate. And these are psychological, you know, or properties of midas, a person's, you know, personal attributes, virtues. Besugze Shatamatel Dov Betseva. Also, too, something has a color, a tam, or a taste. And the Dubbe Revi is the fourth case, is, you know, the length of something. These previous ones will say qualities, this is quantities. You say something is oh, which is long. Okay? Now, all the Rambam has done is basically listed predicates, and all of these classes of predicates can be found in Aristotle. I will refer to you to an article of Wolfson, which brings the sources of the Rambam. The basic idea, this is not actually the place that we want to go into detail into the Aristotelian theory of predicates, but the basic idea which the Rambam is saying, which he says on page 121, here in the Schwartz edition, if you contemplate all of these types of predicates and things that are similar to them, it's impossible to apply them to God. There's no quantity to God, no quantity to God. In other words, basically, the concept of quantity, right, doesn't exist by God, because God is not something that can be measured by quantity. He can't be long, he can't be short. In other words, according to Baruch Hu, right, nothing leaves an impression on God. In other words, nothing can affect God. In other words, Echos Epilos means, if you say that, in other words, God gets angry, God is angry, or God is compassionate, nothing affects God that he can be compassionate or angry. It was just like you can't, God's incorporeality, you know, prevents us from ascribing to him any quantity. So too, God's incorporeality, and also by the very fact that God's existence is necessary. In other words, he can exist other than the world. So therefore, by definition, there's nothing can affect him. Right? In other words, also God doesn't have any power potentials, right? Right? Or any, in other words, or any state that he could have different types of powers. He doesn't have a psychological makeup that you could say that he has propensity for certain moods and certain emotions, etc. He can't be, in other words, Kodesh Bohu cannot be in other words, he can't be embarrassed, right? Lo mashishach lebal nefesh. You're going to brias b'acholi. Something can get sick and be healthy. So all these types of predicates cannot be applied to God. God cannot be compared to anything physical or anything emotional, right? to which we can apply an adjective and a predicate describing him, either in a physical state or an emotional state, or even an intellectual state or professional state. So he says, "Bikanchis ba'ash yisholish kivutzas elu shel ta'arim." These three categories, v'hem ablayim amos al chelik shel mahus, and these speak about either his essence, a part of his essence. The first category speaks about his essence, right? The second category speaks about part of his essence, al eichas kol she nimtza b'mos, or some type of a quality associated with his essence, but not identical with his essence. Lo titachen legabim yisrael. You can't speak about that. Respect to God. Became in shekula meiras al murkavos. Because any description of God indicates that what? That he's in a certain state as opposed to another state. So therefore, God is divided up. Davar sheniva ma'achocha buvzitam is proven shu bilti efsha b'yachas l'keah. In other words, something which cannot be applied to God. Because God, by definition, right, cannot be, in other words, cannot be broken up into states. See, God is angry. So maybe sometimes he's not angry. Or he's in a state of anger as opposed to a state of non-anger. That means you're dividing him up. Right? In other words, that's really God's absolute unity. We can't associate with him any attribute or predicate which necessarily will cause us to think in God in a specific state as opposed to another state. Okay. Now, all this is fine and dandy, and I don't think that here the Rambam feels that there's anyone who would argue on this, right, in any serious way, unless he ascribes to a certain type of paganism. However, the fourth group of the Rambam, once again, let's summarize. The Rambam has gone through three classes of attributes. There's a definition. There's a partial definition, and then there's qualities, either quantitative or qualitative. In other words, things which describe either a mental state, a physical state, a measurement, etc., etc. And all these things are basically inapplicable to God, because a consequence of them is that God becomes divided into states, and there he's composed of different states, which by definition is a violates his absolute unity. Now, the Rambam, we're on page 121, the last paragraph of the Schwartz edition, is now going to discuss a fourth group of predicates, which are predicates of relationship. And we'll see why, in fact, the Rambam is going to devote specific or special care and attention to this group of predicates. At Kvutza Raviyah Shal Ta'arim, the fourth group of ta'orim, of predicates, hem shpatarim dover b'yachs al zulas. It speaks about a relationship between two things. Kegon yuchas l'zman, a connection with time, l'mokim, to a place, or l'frat achir, or something else. Kegon shatam ataras ha'ruven shu'avim shal ploni. Ruven is the father of ploni, of a certain person. Or shufu shal ploni, or he's a partner with a certain person. He lives in a certain place. That's the relationship. So the first two relationships to another person. The third one is relationship to a place. Or he lived in the Middle Ages. It's relationship to time. Opens it now. You all know what I'm thinking and what the Rambam is thinking. Certainly Christianity ascribes to God a father and a son. The Rambam here, Maimonides here for sure, is aiming his arrows at Christianity. And as we've seen in chapter 50, we're seeing in more detail here, that the Rambam understands that the concept of the father-son relationship, when it comes to God, violates God's absolute unity and corporeality. Says the Rambam, Oven ze shal ta'arim enu mechayev riboy, v'loy shini be'atmusu shal ha'matuar. Ah, see, this is much more complicated. Because if you say that God is the father of X, so it doesn't necessarily mean that there's two gods. In other words, the other characteristics, the other predicates, right, being accidental qualities, assume that, in other words, God can have, God is God basically can be subdivided into temperaments or into qualities. But here there's just a yachas. We say that God is a tati, is a father. So it doesn't mean that there's two fathers. We only have one father in heaven. We don't see the father. He was always the father. In other words, if I say that Reuven is Shimon's, if I say Reuven is the father, right, of Moshe, so that could be absolute. He was always the father of Moshe. He always lived in a certain house, right? It doesn't mean that Reuven is two people. So in other words, the type of violations of the third three categories don't apply to here. So you might think, says the Rambam, prima facie, that it's permitted to say that God is the father of a certain person. Because saying he's the father of a certain person doesn't necessarily mean that he's the father now, wasn't the father before that. We're not dividing God up into different. Father's a father. It's an absolute statement that exists for all time. So you might think this is permitted. And to say he's a father, it's just a relationship to another person. A father is not a description of God, it's just a relationship to another person. Ulam kasher boikim es ha'emes. So the havamina, you might think this is true. As Christianity, according to the Rambam, was a havamina. But says the Rambam, but if you really think about it, it's incorrect, it's false. Ulam kasher boikim es ha'emes. When you check the truth, says the Rambam, ubedaikim be'iyud, and you really think about it, it can't be. It's impossible, says the Rambam. There's no connection between God and a place. There's no connection between God and time. Once again, time is part of motion. There's no connection between God and the physical world. Motion is part of the physical world, and time is part of motion. We spoke about that in the previous lectures on creation. Time can be measured. So, how can we say there's a connection between God and something which is measured? On page 122. Speed, or motion, is a property of physical bodies. God doesn't have a body. So it's apples and oranges. You can't say God is at this time. Because there's no connection between time and God. God is something totally disconnected from any concept of physical motion. And since time is a property of physical motion, he's completely disconnected. And yachas b'lo v'ra mokom. Also too, how can you say God is in a place? You can't say this in a place. There's no connection between God and space. Okay? Yesh mokum lachkov le'ayin goes on the Rambam. In other words, what the Rambam is basically saying, he's going to go this in greater detail in a little while, what the Rambam is saying is, when you compare two things, there has to be a base of comparison. What the Rambam is going to say, I can't say that yellow is smart. In other words, that's the basic comparison. Says the Rambam, you can't compare God, certainly, to space and time, because there's nothing in God, right, which has in common, which anything something with space or time. Goes on the Rambam. Yishmokim lakol ha'ayin, yishmokim l'sa'ala ben dava bevuah, ha'atzalim, yachas amiti kolshu. Is there something that God has in common with his creation? In other words, in order to say that God is the father of someone, God is the partner of someone, there has to be some connection between God and anything in the physical world. Says the Rambam here, prima facie, there's no connection between God and any of his creations. In other words, a connection, right, between two things, right, In other words, one of the things that characterizes two things which are related to each other, right? Well, the language of the Rambam here, achas misgula ishlei devora mishachsim yachas goyimun zelazeh, one of the proper two things which have a relationship, v'ahefach toich shivya. In other words, basically, v'ahefach toich shivya means, in other words, we're contrasting them with equality. There's something that they have in common. V'ahefach toich shivya means they have something in common. We're comparing two things. So God has to exist. Other things can or cannot exist. We spoke about that. God is necessary. Other thing he created is of contingent existence. Something which necessarily exists cannot have anything in common with something which might or might not exist. You can't compare the intellect with color. Even though the intellect and color, right, actually are of contingent existence. Certainly, there can't be a connection with God in any of his creations. In other words, God's existence, we speak about God's existence, right? And the existence of anything else is a totally different concept of existence. In other words, when I say God exists, is that the same thing as saying any object exists? Since existence is the most important property, the most fundamental property of an object on the basis of which every other description or comparison with the object exists, I can't even say God exists. In other words, I can't even say God and the world exist. In other words, what's the most basic, fundamental connection between two objects? They both exist, right? You agree with me? If I say God is the Father to the Son, so I could say God and the Son exists. God is a Father, and the Son is the Son. Son, Zun, S-O-N, not S-U-N. As in Yiddish, it sounds like S-U-N. But I can't even say God and the Son exist. Because to say God exists, and to say the Son exists, is two concepts of existence. Kal v'chomer, ben kal v'chomer, how much more so can I stipulate any comparison between the two objects? Gevaldik, incredible. The wedge, the ontological wedge which I draw between God and the world is almost absolute. L'chach, l'chay, therefore, goes on the Rambam on page 123. There's no connection and no relationship between God and anything which he created. In other words, I can only connect and relate to objects that have some, that are part that have something else in common. Right? So for example, if I say that red is stronger than green, weaker, right? But in other words, or as Jason and Ayakus, maybe I can say red is like a brighter color than green. So they're both colors. Or say someone is stronger than another one. So they both have strength. They both include things that have strength. But if two things are in totally different categories, there's no connection. Says the Rambam, even prima facie, you can't compare them. God is in a totally different category than other objects, because even the notion of existence is totally separate. Okay, yeah.
When we stand on Rosh Hashanah and say, Avinu Malkeinu.
We'll get to that.
day.
We'll get to that. Yeah, it's before Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Well, maybe. Okay. Says the Rambam, Dugma Lakach, an example of two things which have no connection. There's a connection between Abba Abba's four Amas and the Charifas, the a pilpul of pepper is strong. An Amma is a measurement. I'm sorry. The Charif is a pilpul, the sharpness of a pepper has something to do with measurement of something. Right? Can I say that is there a relationship between knowledge, idea, and mesikus, and sweetness? A person being tolerant, and merigus, and something which is bitter, they have nothing to do with each other. One's a description of taste, and one's a description of an emotion, of an attribute of a person. So much more so says the Rambam in Yachas Ben Olav Yisendam Ben Adom Mibur. Certainly more so, the Rambam repeats himself, the connection between God and any of his creations. She'ein hevel gol mimeno. There's no greater difference, right, and abyss between the two things. Ilu ha'yachas b'neiim haya mischayim she'yesh shayach lo ha'mikos ha'yachas. If there was a connection between God and his creation, so I could attribute, right, an accidental property to God, which is impossible. Okay? Now, the question is, Rabbi Sally asked a good question. We're going to stand in Rosh Hashanah and say, Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu, that's two predicates. What do we mean by that? So, comes the Rambam and introduces a fifth category. Okay? And now it's really, we have to examine this. I mean, after all, the Rambam has to supply us with some linguistic, semantical device by which we relate to God. We speak about God. So the Rambam now introduces a fifth category. I'm going to read the fifth category. Hakvutza Chamishis, I'm on the bottom of page 123, the Peterson edition. Hakavutz Hamishis, the fifth category, shall to all of the chiyuvim of positive attributes, who should betarim dov maaseyim, the maaseyim, and describe something by its actions. Any miskaved maaseyim lemiyumenay shalom alochem. Not speaking about the ability, the talents of someone, shabog, into inherent talents like a nagar, a carpenter, a nafach, a glazier. Because these are our attributes, the qualities of the person himself. We're speaking about something that a person does. His actions means something which a person does. Could go, like you say, Ruven. He carpented this door. He made this door. He built this wall. He wove this coat. Says the Rambam, you can say that about God. Why? It's distant enough from the subject itself. Therefore, we can describe God. What is this fifth category? I mean, after all, I'm ascribing an action to God. Let's make a difference. An action from any other attribute. If he's a carpenter, he knows how to cut wood. If he's strong, he knows how to lift things. Why do actions necessarily constitute a category which is wholly different and something which one can describe God? This is the question. Now, learned Professor Harry Austin Wolfson, in an article which appears in his collected writings, this article is entitled The Aristotelian Predicables and Maimonides' Division of Attributes. It's a two-volume set of articles by Professor Wolfson from Volozhin, formerly. Later he was from Harvard. he quotes one of the major commentaries of the Rambam, Kaspi, Yosef Kaspi, Joseph Kaspi. Professor Wolfson's article basically looks, he brings the sources of Maimonides and Aristotle and the commentators of Aristotle. But what about the fifth category? So he quotes Joseph Kaspi. I'm going to read now from Professor Wolfson's article. It's page 186. This question seems to arise, says Joseph Kaspi, I do not remember to have come across this fifth class of attributes in any of the books on logic or physics. That is to say, that it should be treated as a special class of attributes, and I am inclined to think that it is a distinction made by Maimonides out of his own head. He furthermore states that Maimonides' attribute of action is a subdivision of relation, and of course, Professor Wolfson slams him for this, rightly so. It's a shtos. I mean, in the fourth category, the Rambam says that the Kodesh Baruch is not subject to relationship. He just got done saying that God has no relationship to anything in the world. How can you say something like that? Now, says Professor Wolfson, what Maimonides really means by action that is not a relation, that by action that is not a relation, is not the subject of the present paper. It shouldn't be, because you probably don't understand what it means. But he can go on and try to explain a little bit what Cosby said, etc., etc. Then he says on page 187. So Professor Wolfson said, look, either we're down on the Kav Zchus or not down on the Kav Zchus, judge him favorably or not, but it doesn't go into the present paper as to what Maimonides actually meant. I don't believe that any of his writings he actually got into this either. But once again, I'm not an expert on Wolfson. But what did the Rambam mean by this? Certainly we can't say that just because we say the door was carpeted by a certain person, by X, so we're ascribing an action to X. Okay? So I want to claim the following thing. I want to read very, very carefully. Okay? Once again, actually, maybe I'll read from the Pinnis edition. Okay? On the Pinnis edition, page 118, the fifth group of the affirmative attributes is as follows. A thing has its action predicate of it. I do not intend to signify the words as action, the habitus of an art that belongs to him. In other words, an ability. As you say, carpentry, smith. In other words, this belongs to the species of qualities we have mentioned, right? To the previous attributes, the third attribute. I intend to signify the words as action, the action that he who describes to perform. As you say, right? He calls it Zion, Plony, I don't know, is the one who carpeted this door, built this wall. Now, this kind of attribute is remote from the essence of the thing of which it is predicated. Once again, what does this mean? What it means is remote, is distant. For this reason, on page 119 in the Pinnis edition, it's permitted that this kind of predicate of God may be exalted. If you have, as may be clear, come to know that the acts in question need not be counted by means of different notions existing within the essence of the agent. But that all different acts may be exalted are all of them carried out by means of his essence, and not by means of a super-added notion. Ram goes on and says, after you have, as we make clear in the next chapter, that the acts in question were not carried out by different notions. In other words, we don't say that each act comes from a part of God that's responsible for this action. There aren't different parts of God that, you know, that produce different actions. Right? But the different acts that come out from what essence? That the Rambam describes in the next chapter, in chapter 53. Now, from this statement we see an interesting thing. Namely, that, I mean, if I describe an action of God, in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that the issue of what was the source of this action, was it different parts of God producing different actions, or different specific part of God producing different specific action, or they all come from one. In other words, that's a separate discussion. It's as if the Rambam is saying, is that when I say this door was carpeted by X, I'm not really describing the act of X. The act of X could be any type of an act of X. It either come from a part of X which does a specific action, or it could come from a one X that's capable of doing different actions. I want to say the following thing. If I say this door was made by X, I claim, what's the subject matter of the sentence? It's not really X, it's the door. I'm describing the door. In other words, when I say the door, in other words, when I say God carpets doors, so I'm describing God. What?
Describing
door. God. No, when God carpets doors, that means that God can make doors. He has a kishon, he has a talent for making doors. We say, God does this, God does that. But we say that this door was made by God. In other words, I'm describing the door. In fact, on the contrary, the statement that this door is carpeted by God is really man is expressing his opinion on the origin of the door. In other words, it's a relationship. In other words, it comes out by virtue of the relationship between man and the door. Man looks at the door and he surmises the door was made by God. It's a judgment made on man, by man, which describes an object which he, on the basis of his intellect, describes was made by God. But it's not speaking at all about the act of carpeting by God. Man is not making any judgment about God. That's why the Rambam says the issue of God's actions, do they come from a multiplicity of this essence, or are there a different acts coming from a unity essence? That's a separate discussion. So I'm going to prove that in the next chapter. Because the statement, what the Rambam really means, the statement that this door was made by God doesn't say anything about the way God makes doors. Which is interesting, is what is the Rambam doing? What the Rambam doing is positing a very sophisticated concept that was actually only discovered a few hundred years afterwards. Namely, that there are two points of view. There's the God-eye point of view, and there's the man point of view. In other words, we've discussed in the latest Sherin of Rishubu, which I hope you've gotten by now, I hope you've downloaded my article, the great revolution made by Descartes in the 16th century, whose theological interpretation is given substance by none other than the Arizal, that there's two dimensions to reality. There's the God dimension and the man dimension. In other words, there's God in and of himself, and there's God as he relates to man. But the Rambam said, or we could say there's a man dimension, man looking at God, there's God in and of himself. What the Rambam seems to be saying is the following thing. The first four categories of attributes are trying to describe God from the God dimension, from the God point of view. If God is the Father to this person, that's from God's point of view. But if I say that this door was carpeted by God, that's man looking at the world and surmising and describing the fact that he thinks this door was made by God. It's not saying anything about God. It's really describing the origin of, it's describing the door.
That's why Rambam says it's mutter to describe it that way.
Right.
He doesn't say that is the description.
Right. So what I want to say is that the fifth category obviously is not an Aristotle. Because the fifth category is not a predicate of X. It's a predicate of the door. That's why it's not an Aristotle. I can't understand why Joseph Kasky would miss this. Certainly Harry Wilson was any business. But in any case, I want to claim that in fact is that this is actually what I say, and I'm using a yeshivish language. I'm not ashamed to pshat to the Rambam. This is the real meaning of the Rambam. And I'll give you two proofs for this. One proof of it is the next chapter, 53. We made a mistake in arithmetic at the very beginning of the class. I'm embarrassed, but I could say that having taken many physics and math courses, the only numbers I saw were the numbers on the pages of the books. But in any case, the Rambam here, at the end of chapter 53, he speaks about how I'm supposed to relate to terms that describe God in the prophets. In the Schwartz edition, it's page 129. There the Rambam says, Zema Sheroi Lahamin Bashila Tarman is called Sefer Neviim. Sefer Neviim, page 129. In the Schwartz edition, the very, very last part of the page. It's the very end of chapter 53. In the Peters edition, it's page 123. I mean, if God can be described by his actions, and the Rambam says in this fifth category, that should be the description of God that appeared in the Nevi'im, in the prophets, and the Kisvei HaKadosh, and the Holy Writ, capital W. What was the belief about the description of God's Nevi'im? Oh, sheish la'am in the gabi chelkam. You can believe with respect to some of them. Shem tolam amayim ashlemus. That they are predicates, adjectives, which describe perfection. Al derech hadamyus l'shlemusay shalanu. We're speaking about man's conception of perfection. Kvish ha'adam avidim ha'yisan kevosh ha'nazbir. I will explain. In other words, man's concept of perfection. When I describe God's perfection, it's not a divine, a perfection of God. It's a humanly related concept of perfection. It's from the man's side, not from the God side. Man's concept of perfection. That's permitted. That's what the Rambam says. I'll read the English in the Pinnas. This is what ought to be believed with regard to the attributes mentioned in the books of the prophets, or as we should make clear, may believe with regard to some of them, that their attributes indicate perfection likened to our perfection, which are understood by us. It's from the human point of view. So that's the human point of view. What? Page 123 in the Pinnas edition, the very end of chapter 53. From the human point of view, it's a different viewpoint. That's sufficiently remote from God. That's the Pshat of the Rambam. That's interesting. He says, as we shall make clear. What as we shall make clear? So as we shall make clear appears, it seems to me in chapter 59, page 148 of the Pinnas edition, which is, I'm sorry, page 148 in the Schwartz edition, which is corresponds to page 139 in the Pinnas edition. So the Rambam says, now the Rambam has gotten back into his negative theology. How do you get close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, from this, you have to, it's called Shlila, negation. You have to negate things. Whenever something we describe something, it's really negation. It's not like it. Ruchina Zoy says, the Rambam, Roy this Karvel, Asagas, and Hakir, Velima, Achyodim, Ibn Nimo, is called Bashanin, Lagabav. You get closer to understanding against God's unity, his perfection, by understanding what cannot be said about it. You shouldn't think of something that's an addition to his essence. In other words, you shouldn't think that something is perfect about God because it's perfect about us. So what's Rambam saying? In other words, what the Rambam is saying is, you shouldn't confuse what's perfect respect to man is perfect respect to God. Which means what the Rambam is saying is that there's two points of view, there's two poles. There's the God point of view, and there's the human point of view. It is, that sometimes a person is forced to describe God in terms of perfections which are relative to man. But don't confuse the two things. Don't confuse man's constant perfection with God's kind of perfection. As the going begins in the Asara Klala, which we went through, 24 lectures, you'll see the Klal Gadol is, we're not speaking God in of himself, we're speaking of God's relation to man. That's the Yesod Gadol, that's the overarching principle that has to be assumed. So when I say, in Rosh Hashanah, Avinu Malkeinu, I can have in my mind, right, a human concept of a king, a human concept of a tati, of a father, but I shouldn't think that the human concept of a tati is God in and of himself, but it's okay. As I conceive of God, I'm allowed to use human concepts of greatness, of empowerment, of perfections, of relationship, so long as I understand that they're human concepts of these notions. That's Avinu Malkeinu. So he is a tati, he is a king. But I should just keep it in the back of my mind that it's from my concept of royalty, my concept of fatherhood. But God of himself, that's a different aspect, which I only approach by understanding what is not him. That we'll speak about in Mirz Hashem, God willing, in the next lectures.
He's not really saying the mitzi do mitzi deinu.
He's not saying it. He didn't have the nusach. He didn't have the Rambam.
He's not dividing the Arizal.
No. Right. The Arizal says it.
But there's God.
Often, right. He's not saying it, but what he's doing here, I claim. You see, this is what I claimed really with creation ex nihilo. Not completely. There he was in terms of contradiction. What he's saying is, there's a class of predicates which are a way of speaking about something, X, by speaking about another object. In other words, I'm speaking about X by describing Y. That's what he's saying. In other words, there's a medieval concept of the Misidana. I mean, there was the Gilderiza. It wasn't the philosophy, it was Descartes, the mind-body duality. We spoke about that in Rishimu. He's not saying that. The Rambam didn't have a concept of that. I mean,
it was like, there would be heresy. I mean, the Rambam wouldn't.
Yeah, no, Rambam didn't think.
He wouldn't entertain.
He wouldn't
talk about God in the.
I understand that, but I think imbued in the Rambam's logic is something Cain's a symbol to this. It was, I could use language in a way that language describes the world, and inherent in the world is a description of God, an act of God.
Right, but the difference is, in Rambam it's a linguistic game, whereas in the Arizal, you're actually describing.
I wouldn't call it a game, because Rambam would say that many of the descriptions in Tanakh are like this.
I don't mean, but it's.
In other words, the Rambam, it's a linguistic possibility. It's a logical possibility.
The Ariza would say that you're actually describing.
No, the Ariza, right, there's a Gilui, a revelation, which are called Bogus Bamti to man.
When I say these words in the Ariza, I'm actually talking about some kind of God.
Right, but we have to understand that certain concepts are somehow exist in certain states, that's according to the Rambam, in linguistic, semantical states, which later, when the final time comes, and the Ruach HaFiyah Mimorim, and there's a. History has evolved that in fact actually this comes out to be a very this comes out to actually be something which actually science understands as being an ontological reality, but this is certainly the way you have learned the Rambam. I understand why Professor Wolf didn't understand him. Professor Wolfson is riveted to Aristotelian thinking because the Greeks had no concept of mind. There's no mind-body problem in the Greeks. Professor Rorty in his Philosophy of Nature has a whole chapter section devoted to that. So we don't expect the Rambam to come up with a Cartesian duality. But the Rambam is intelligent enough to understand that inherently in language, in semantics, right, there's a distinction here, since language mirrors the world. So therefore we could use language to describe the God in this manner, because logically we're not attributing something to God. That's what the Rambam could held. That's really what the Rambam is saying over here. So this is really the fifth category. Now, so we see that in the Rambam we have really a, I don't want to say prophecy, but we have a nascent concept which later will come to its fruition in the Renaissance, the end of the 16th, beginning of the 17th century. That's what we see in the Rambam. It's a very sophisticated concept. That's, Joseph Conopy says, I don't remember coming across this claim. Of course you don't make a sense of attributes. Aristotle wasn't interested in describing God. There are no Kisvi HaKodesh in the Greeks. But the Rambam was interested in describing God. And that's how we have to look at the Nevi'im. So of course Joseph Conopy didn't come across this. And what Joseph Caspi says is a little frightening. I mean, there seems to be a medium of mixas of the Trinity, which is of chas v'shalom. But in any case, this is really the understanding of the Rambam over here. So, what we've done actually, to summarize, is that having gone through the arguments, the class of attributes, and understanding why they cannot be applied to God, Ezra Hashem is Bach. The help of God, we've actually come to understand really what is this fifth kavutz of the Rambam. It's translated action, but in my opinion, it's not action. It's an attributed act, and it's an act which describes an object in the world which is attributed to God. But the main thing is that we're describing the world. Minutes describe the world. If I describe an event of the world as being coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's still a description of the world. It's called a description of the world. If I describe God, it's called nonsense. It's paganism. If I describe something as being, if I attribute something to God, that's a description of the world. It doesn't say anything about how God did it. That's what I'm saying. It was, you have to know how to describe God's actions. But a description and attributing of an event in the world to God doesn't say anything how God does it. That's important. Two separate issues. And that's what I'm saying. And for this reason, well, part and parcel of this is the fact that this description is sufficiently remote from God. It was not really connected to God. It doesn't make a statement about God. So because of this, right? It gets the Maimonian Hechshel. Not that these are the Hechshel, because it's the Rambam says that this is the Ta'alim that appear in the Chumash. And that's the point. Now, you should know something, is that, how much more time do we have? 5 minutes. This actually opens up a lot. At the end of the Megillah Nevuchim, the Rambam is going to speak about the highest level, even after philosophy, is Imitatio Dei, man imitating God's moral acts. The fact is that this class of predicates is fundamental to the Rambam, because in a certain sense it forms the basis of ethics. In fact, not only form the basis of ethics, in my opinion, it forms the basis of the halacha. In a certain sense, man can perform acts which are similar to God, and therefore can form acts which are dictated by God, only because, in other words, there is a physical imminence to God's acts. And this is the semantical way in which a physical imminence to God's acts can be described. And this is the basis, really, for ethical action.
It's not a semantical way in which God's acts are described. We're realigning the whole idea.
When I say semantics, I don't mean like, I don't mean bluff. I mean semantics, I mean linguistic. Like semantical linguistic, that's what I mean. Semantical. So in other words, what the Rambam is doing, is he's saying is that the nature of the halacha is that it doesn't infringe upon descriptions of God, God's essence. So this is the halacha.
But according to Rambam's interpretation, it implies that halacha is concerned with and that our religious gesture is concerned with the human idea of God, as opposed to God in of himself.
It might be. The question is, how are we going to learn the end of the Baruch Nevuchim, where the Rambam speaks about the highest level is imitating God? Is that really the base of all ethics, or is that sort of like a humanistic, you know, ethics which is not related to the Allah? I'm not sure. That's many miles to travel before we sleep. But anyway, in any case, something to think about. Until then, I wish everybody, maybe have a share on Sunday, no? But whatever it is.
Not a share on Monday.
Oh, not a share on Monday. Anyway, I want to wish all the audience Aksimu Sima Toiva, Tichosva, Tichosva, L'chaim Toivim. We should all be inscribed in the Book of Life. We should all have a good year and be Zeicha and merit finishing the Rambam's negative theology. Be well.